Open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I hope you have your Bibles with you because we're going to be looking at several passages of Scripture in my address to you this afternoon. We begin in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Albert Barnes writes this about verse 1. There is first the worship of the Virgin and of the saints, or the extraordinary honors rendered to them, corresponding almost entirely with the reverence paid by the pagan to the spirits or heroes or demigods. Not demagogues, but demigods. The saints are supposed to have extraordinary power with God and their aid implored as intercessors. The Virgin Mary is invoked as, quote, the Mother of God, close quote, and as having power still to command her Son. Obviously, a reference to Romanism, of which this passage definitely applies. John Gill writes, one of the great instances of the apostasy, namely giving heed to doctrines of demons or concerning demons, that is, those doctrines which teach the worship of saints and angels as a middle sort of deities between the immortal God and mortal men, such as the heathen called demons and worshipped under that notion. Now, this plainly agrees to the Church of Rome, and it was one of the first steps towards the great apostasy, the enshrining of the relics of martyrs, paying divine honors to them, erecting altars, burning incense, consecrating images and temples, and making prayers and praises to the honor of saints departed. The demon worship is paganism revived, the image of the first beast. There can be no question that Romanism, the Roman Catholic Church, is definitely described here in these passages that we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. Obviously, however, the doctrines of devils and seducing spirits are much more ubiquitous than simply being confined to the Roman Church. The doctrines of devils and seducing spirits are many and dominate not only our country, but the countries of the world. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And I want to show you verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Albert Barnes writes, respecting their character, and in order to guard you against their arts. The word seduce means to lead astray, and here refers to those who would seduce them from the truth or lead them into dangerous error. The apostle does not mean that they had actually seduced them, for he states in the following verse that they were yet safe, but he refers to the fact that they were in danger, that they might be led into error. This satanic seduction, doctrines of devils, which take people away from the truth, draw people away from the truth. And of course, we talked about last week the discernment of the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And John is again addressing that same subject in the verse that we just read. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. And let's read beginning in verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out, I want you to read it. If you haven't turned there yet, turn there and read this in your Bible as I read it publicly here. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Or rather, astonished them, defining the word bewitch. Astonished them with the strange feats he performed, which were so unheard of and unaccountable that they were thrown into ecstasy and rapture, and were, as it were, out of themselves through wonder and admiration at the amazing things that were done by him. This same bewitchment is going on in our country today. The words that we just read, ascribing to Simon Magus in the cities of Samaria at the time of the apostles, are every bit applicable to our day today. Listen to that last paragraph again about the bewitching part of Simon's work. Astonished with the strange feats he performed, that they were thrown into an ecstasy and rapture, and as it were, out of themselves through wonder and admiration at the amazing things that were done by him. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians, chapter 3. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Bewitch, seduce, hypnotize. Who has done this to you? Who has taken you out of yourselves, caused you to turn your back on truth because of your infatuation with and intoxication over this person or these persons? Who has done this to you? Albert Barnes writes this about verse 1 of Galatians 3. The word used here, the Greek word, properly means to prate about anyone and then to mislead by pretenses, as if by magic arts, to fascinate, to influence by a charm. The idea here is that they had not been led by reason and by sober judgment, but that there must have been some charm or fascination to have taken them away in this manner from what they had embraced as true and what they had the fullest evidence was true. It's like someone cast a spell over them and cause them to forsake truth. It's as if someone bewitched them, as if someone with magical power was able to cause them to forsake their reasoning and the things that their mind and heart knew to be true. And it put them in another dimension. A dimension that was not reality. A dimension that was so powerful that it takes them from reality and puts them into an unreal, false, phony world. Who has done this? Well, we know to the cities in Samaria that one man in particular, Simon Magus, was much responsible for the things that the apostles spoke of. Here in the churches of Galatia, we know that it was many of the Judaizers who had infiltrated the church and who had mesmerized them through their charm and their charisma and had taken them away from the gospel, away from truth, and place them back under the Mosaic law. But the point I'm trying to get you to see is the power of seduction, the power of bewitchment that some people are given, not by God, of course, but by Satan himself. This is a spiritual seduction. This is a spiritual bewitchment. With such power and such influence that it's able to take people away from what they know to be true and lead them into error. It is so powerful that it is able to cause them to surrender their reason and their logic and the natural laws of reason and logic that God has given to us to this fantasy world that is created for them by whoever the person or persons is who has this power of bewitchment. Now, we all know that Satan himself has this kind of power. We read in the book of Revelation that whenever he is finally placed into the lake of fire, that people that see him at that day of judgment, his day of reckoning, will say about him, is this the man that deceiveth the whole world? Is that the man? We finally get to identify who he is. This is the man that has deceived the entire world. That's what we find in the book of Revelation concerning Satan. And of course he does. He deceives the entire world with his charm, with his seductive powers, with his powers of bewitchment. He is able to get into the hearts and the minds of people and to reshape the truth in them. He is able to cause them to relinquish their power of reason so that their fellowship of his seductive power has nothing to do with truth, nothing to do with right, nothing to do with reason, nothing to do with logic, and it has everything to do with his power of persuasion, seduction, and bewitchment. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. God invites us to reason with him. A Christian who comes to faith in the Lord and follows the Lord through faith does not ever surrender his natural reason and logic. The truth of the gospel and the truth of God, whatever it might be, is the most reasonable truth in the universe. Many people like to use the word reason as a rubric for unbelief and agnosticism, etc., as if the truth of God is unreasonable. They are the ones who have been bewitched by a spirit that has not allowed them to see reasonable truth reasonably. But these people that we are seeing described here in these passages have forsaken all reason. They have forsaken truth. And they have been enraptured by a seducing spirit. They have been bewitched by doctrines of devils. The Roman Church is not the only religion in the world that is a doctrine of devils. There are hundreds and thousands of them, all teaching demonic doctrines, all influenced by seducing spirits. These spirits are not ugly to look at. Satan's ministers appear as angels of light. When you hear them speak, their words are pleasant to hear. They are brilliant in their ability to deceive. We're not talking about natural deception here. We are talking about supernatural deception. These are the works of supernatural beings. The forces of demonic spirits who use men who have been given over to these seducing spirits and have been given supernatural gifts and talents in order that they might seduce and deceive millions of people. We're talking about supernatural deception, a spiritual deception. This is why I say continually that our battle that we face in this country, even many of the battles that some would call political, are not political at all. They are spiritual at their heart and at their root. The principles of truth apply to all facets of the human experience, including our political experiences. There is a false spirit prevalent in politics as much as it is prevalent in religion and science and education and any other sphere of life of which man must dwell. So these spirits are supernatural, and the seduction is supernatural. The bewitchment is supernatural. I have one more passage to share with you. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is a passage that we have referred to often, and rightly so. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It would help if I take the cap off. Listen to what Albert Barnes writes about verse 12. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It is a wide and a powerful empire. It has been consolidated by ages of time. It is sustained. Are you listening? It is sustained by the authority of law, by all of the omnipotence of the perverted religious principle, by all of the reverence for antiquity, by all of the power of selfish, corrupt, and base passions. No empire has been so extended or has continued so long as that empire of darkness, and nothing on earth is so difficult to destroy. The devil has had the entirety of human experience from the creation of the world to practice his dark magic over mankind. He has had thousands of years to practice and practice and practice this dark magic of his. And with every passing year, every passing decade, he more masterfully is able to send his seducing spirits to bewitch the world. He gets better at it by time. I guess it's true of every generation that it believes and it thinks that no generation before it has been as bad as the generation that they're in. I suppose every generation has felt that. I'm not really sure if that's true, because the doctrines of devils and the seducing spirits were around when the apostles wrote the New Testament. So we know that it's not new. We read of the devilish animosity and enmity against the prophets of God in the Old Testament. So we know it's not new. But what is new, I think, about this subject is the uniqueness of the United States and its place in world history. And because of our glorious beginning as a nation and the wonderful principles and precepts that were inculcated into the founding generations of our country, the principles that were codified in our founding documents, and not only our founding documents, but the minds and the hearts of the founding fathers and the subsequent generations, was so unique and so wonderful. An apex of liberty and religious liberty that mankind has ever seen.
Amen.
And so because of that history, because of that formation, and because of those principles which guided the hearts and the minds of the men and women that birthed this country, those of us who have come along 200 years later, we believe that all of the principles and those great dynamics that made this country what it was is still in place, or are still in place, in America today. But I think your common sense tells you that even though those principles may yet be enshrined in the great documents upon which our country was founded, it does not mean that those principles are still enshrined in the hearts and the minds of the people who lead this country and the people who are living in this country today. Those principles, for the most part, have been long forsaken, neglected, ignored, willingly abused, and violated. In reality, America is America in name only. The founding fathers, if they could see what America has become today, and if they were alive and able to do something about it, they would have fought a new revolution all over again long ago.
Amen.
We don't even resemble the principles upon which our country was founded. And when you start talking about the hearts and minds of people, the dearth is even more apparent. Talk to most people about constitutional government, and I'm talking primarily in my address today about Christian people, or at least professing Christian people. And they will look at you with glassy eyes, not understanding a word that you're talking about. And then if you try to talk to them about divine natural law as found in the Word of God, and in the laws of nature and the laws of nations, those glassy eyes glaze to the point of blindness. They know nothing of what you're talking about. Pastors know nothing of natural law. Most of them know nothing of the Constitution. They know nothing of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and how it applies to us today. It's one thing to say you believe in a document. It's another thing to apply that document to our lives today. I hear even many in the, quote, pro-life community that often talk about pro-life. They almost always are referring to the abortion holocaust, which is, of course, a major, major, egregious violation of the laws of God, the laws of men, the laws of nature, in any way you look at it. But these same people that will talk about the sin of abortion, the taking of innocent human life in the womb, have no thought or reservation at all about sending missiles into other countries and killing tens of thousands of innocent little boys and girls in other places. Let me tell you what, you cannot support perpetual war and call yourself pro-life at the same time. So they don't even understand the right to life issue. They don't even understand the liberty issue. They can use the word liberty and freedom. But what does it mean? The left and the right are equally seduced, equally bewitched, and have been taken out of themselves and have lost their ability to reason. Liberty and freedom, the great principles codified in our Bill of Rights, which are designed to not only teach the American people what those natural rights are, but to protect those natural rights, are for every single American. It doesn't matter whether we are liberal or conservative, Christian or non-Christian, Republican or Democrat or independent. It doesn't matter what our theology might be. It doesn't matter what our politics might be. The innate, natural liberties that God has given to us in nature, codified in the American economy by the Bill of Rights, to be protected by all Americans, applies to every American, or it applies to no American. That's not what freedom and liberty means to people today. To the left, freedom and liberty mean to protect them and what they believe and the way they want to act. And to the right, it believes to protect them and what they believe and the way they want to act. But both ends of the political spectrum would deny the other end of the spectrum the same basic fundamental rights that they claim for themselves. The left wants to use government to enforce left-wing ideology by force. The right wants to use government to force right-wing ideology. But both groups are looking to government to, by force, impact whatever that particular strain of belief might be upon the rest of the country. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not liberty. I say that America is under a great bewitchment. I'm not a novice anymore. I don't even know that I could say I'm young anymore. I have never seen in my life the power of seducing spirits in our country, in my lifetime, that I see today. A spiritual seduction. It did not take long after those brave men and women of colonial America declared their independence and formed a new nation for the devil to begin to try and destroy the very things that those men and women fought to obtain for their posterity. The seeds of servitude, the seeds of oppression, tyranny, were at work even from the beginning. Granted, they had a lot of catching up to do, and they had to work harder to try and undo what those great men and women had wrought. But they began their dastardly business almost immediately. Economically, politically, spiritually, socially, the effort was underway. The battle has always been a spiritual battle. The one thing that the colonial generations had that gave them an advantage that we no longer have and haven't had for the better part of a century, was the patriot pulpits of New England. Those men were so brilliant, so astute, so courageous, and they were pervasive throughout the colonies. They understood natural law. Wow. Can you imagine an entire nation where pastors understood natural law? Not just one or two, but as a totality, almost to a man. There could have been exceptions, of course, but they were that. They understood the principles of natural law. They taught those principles to their people. Tireless, indefatigable men that could provide the spiritual principles necessary for people to be able to discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. So that when all of these world-changing decisions needed to be made, And then the actions that had to follow up those decisions. The people of colonial America were ready. They were ready. They understood with their heart. They understood with their mind. Their pastors led the way. And they, with resolve and courage unknown to human history, were able to forge a nation built upon those freedoms that they had learned at the feet of their own pastors. Even the founding fathers themselves, most of whom were members of Christian denominations. There was only a handful that could even be identified as deists. And even the deist of that day, like Benjamin Franklin, who said that God governs in the affairs of men. That's not a deistic doctrine as it's defined in any classroom in America today. Even they had an understanding of scriptural principle that most Christian people do not have in America these days. And so they learned these principles from the pulpits. What are the pulpits doing today? They're teaching none of this. None of this. They're entertaining people. They're leaving it to Fox News to teach them these principles. They're leading it to a politician or a group of politicians to teach them. They're leaving it to the media talking heads to define the issues and to tell them what they should think and what they should believe. And if they go to church every Sunday, they might get a 20 or 30 minute sermonette, which tells them nothing about the great issues of the day that they're going to face Monday through Saturday in the week to come, or Monday through Saturday of the week just behind. And so these Christian people go home and sit in front of the television set, and they let men and women who are absolutely constitutionally illiterate, natural law illiterate, many of them morally debauched, to try and tell them what they should think about what's going on in the world. The Bible does not call Satan the god of this world and the spirit and power of the air by accident. Satan controls the vast majority of the air. And that includes the air waves that permeate the air. A cacophony of nonsense, repeated and regurgitated 24 hours a day, over and over and over and over and over. And the young people go to the movies and they absorb the lies and the seductive spirits permeating through Hollywood and the entertainment industry. And they are seduced into error from a very small age. And because most parents do not have the wisdom and the discernment to be able to guide their children in these matters, they just let them learn from the seducing spirits of the entertainment industry and Hollywood and Xbox and the video games that permeate their little minds almost from birth. Parents, did you know that Bill Gates refused to let his own children own a cell phone or to play with video games. Do you know that some of these entertainment moguls like Gates, who understand the power, even though they may not have a spiritual discernment, they are discerned enough because they help create this beast. They know the dangers of this beast. And they have tried to protect their own children from that technology that they know will destroy them. If nothing else, if you're not thinking about the morality of the child and the ethics of the child, if that's not what motivates you, at least this should motivate you. These technologies, the cell phones and the computer games and television and all these electronic devices, serve but to do one thing: to remove critical thinking from the minds of young people. They truly cannot think for themselves. They have lost a critical necessity of a mature human being, a human being that is able to know and discern not only good from evil on a personal basis, but good from evil on a national basis. They do not have the ability to discern. They cannot think. There are teenagers in junior high school, and I am not exaggerating, there are teenagers in junior high school today that cannot tell time by looking at a clock on the wall. And you think I'm just saying that. If it's not digital, they don't know how to read it. The dumbing down of America is not just a cliche. It is a fact. And it is intentional. Because people that cannot think critically are easy prey for seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then after young people grow up having their minds completely infected with this disease, and then they get older, and what's left for them to do? They turn on Fox News. Fox News is to the elderly what Hollywood and the video games are to the youth of America. Fox News is a mind-numbing, just like all the rest of the outlets. Mind-numbing propaganda, dumbing down. From the time children are able to hold a video game in their hand until the time they are put in a casket when they die, they are victims of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so when a pastor like Chuck Baldwin comes along once in a while and begins to preach the truths and the principles that we preach from this platform, it is a foreign language. Not only is it a foreign language to people, it is something that they cannot begin to grasp, nor do they want to. It is so contrary to everything that they've known, everything they've been taught. It must be a lie. It must be untrue. And so the voices of truth and reason, constitutionalism, natural law, these great principles that birthed our country, these principles are like foreign entities to people that they cannot grasp and have no desire to grasp. I am not sure where we are in the economy of God's providence relative to all of this. Is how do you bring people back from this seduction? How do you eliminate the bewitchment that people are living in? How do you do that? Ever since the Lincoln administration, and especially the Woodrow Wilson administration, American politics has been seduced by doctrines of devils. The apparatus put in place by those men and then by subsequent administrations, FDR, notable example, the doctrines and principles of truth upon which our country was built have been relegated to the ash heap of history, and the seducing spirits of error have taken their place, to the point that now, to many people in our country, truth is error and error is truth. Good is bad and bad is good. America was intended to be governed and was designed to be governed, first of all, by honest, God-fearing men who hated bribes and loved peace. I try to read a little bit of the Federalist Papers on a regular basis just to keep myself refreshed with the sentiments of the men who compiled that great document. And I am constantly left with the fact that these men made it very clear that the government of the United States, not to mention the governments of the several states, was required to be led by honest, God-fearing men. That dishonest men, greedy men, sensuous men, selfish men, would not be fit to lead a free people. And how that free people must be cognizant enough to be able to tell the good men from the bad and to be able to elect good men to public office so that government would not fall prey to the vices and the propensities of evil. Those days are long gone. Honesty, integrity, character mean almost nothing to voters in America today, especially and including Christian voters. I cannot believe what Christian voters are excusing and condoning. I am aghast at preachers, evangelical preachers who claim to be God's men, watchmen on the wall, shepherds of the church, who excuse the most ungodly behavior and conduct in politicians, providing the politician is a Republican, of course. I tell you the truth, if Donald Trump were a Democrat doing the same thing that Donald Trump is doing today, the entire evangelical community would have already turned against him. But because he's a Republican, they condone, they overlook, they forgive, excuse, justify. It was required that not only honest men that feared God and hated bribes and loved peace be in public office, it was required that we maintain our independence and our national sovereignty as a nation. That was critical. They knew the propensity of governments to accrue power into themselves. They knew the propensity of evil men to consolidate power around a few, an oligarchy of power of which the masses could not affect change. British Empire had already allowed itself to succumb to this cabal of evil that swept the world under the crown. The banking cartel of London, the Zionist influence on the banking cartel that became London banking system had aggregated such power and such corruption, which is why when Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, he talked about the design. When you notice a design to usurp the freedoms and the liberties of the people, then you know this. Paraphrase. You know this is not an accident. You know that this is not just a happenstance. You know that there is a plan, there is a design to strip the people of their sovereignty and of their independence. And they revolted as much against that crown cabal and that international banking cartel, they rebelled as much against that as they did anything else in 1775 and 1776. But since the administration of Woodrow Wilson, with the seeds going back to Abraham Lincoln, America has, for the most part, lost its independence. The people no longer decide the government they have. They think they do, but it's a ruse. Here's just one example. And I could stand here for a long time and give you many other examples, but here's one example. Let me quote Rear Admiral Chester Ward as an explanation. Admiral Ward was the Judge Advocate General of the Navy from 1956 to 1960, who they had invited to become part of the Council on Foreign Relations. He, not understanding what that organization was all about, became a member. But not long after, he pulled out after realizing what they were all about. And he started to use his platform as a Rear Admiral and Judge Advocate General to warn the American people about the CFR and other organizations like the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers. Admiral Ward said, and I quote, "The most powerful clique in these elitist groups have one objective in common. They want to bring about the surrender of the sovereignty and the national independence of the United States. A second clique of international members in the CFR comprises the Wall Street international bankers and their key agents. Primarily, they want the world banking monopoly from whatever power ends up in the control of global government. Admiral Ward also said, "The main purpose of the CFR is promoting the disarmament of U.S. sovereignty and national independence and submerges into an all-powerful one-world government," close quote. Admiral Chester Ward, former Judge Advocate General of the Navy. That was back in the early 60s. Those organizations, elitist groups, as they were called by the Admiral, have only strengthened and consolidated power since Admiral Ward spoke his warning. Virtually every modern president, especially since George H.W. Bush, has filled their administration with CFR members. Donald Trump is heralded as an independent American, a populist, a nationalist. But Donald Trump has appointed more CFR members to his administration than Barack Obama did. Here are a few. Are you getting ready? Here are a few of the CFR members that are serving in the Trump administration. John Bolton, National Security Advisor. Elaine Chao, United States Secretary of Transportation, and wife of Senator Mitch McConnell, by the way. Jay Clayton, Chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Gary Cohn, Director of the National Economic Council. Jamie Dimon, Member of Strategic and Policy Forum. Jim Donovan, Deputy Secretary Treasurer. Larry Fink, Member of the Strategic and Policy Forum. Neil Gorsuch, Supreme Court Judge. Kevin Hassett, Chair of the Council on Economic Advisors. Robert Wood Woody Johnson, United States Ambassador to the United Kingdom. Lawrence Kudlow, Director of National Economic Council. Robert Lighthizer, United States Trade Representative. James Mattis, Secretary of Defense. K.T. McFarland, Deputy National Secretary Advisor. Linda McMahon, Administrator of the Small Business Administration. Army Lieutenant General Herbert Raymond H.R. McMaster, National Security Advisor. Jim McKerney, Member of the Strategic and Policy Forum. Steve Mnuchin, Secretary of the Treasury. Indra Nooyi, Member of Strategic and Policy Forum. Rick Perry, Secretary of Energy. Dinah Powell, Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategy. Jerome Powell, Chairman of the Federal Reserve. Gina Romney, Member of the Strategic and Policy Forum. Wilbur Ross, Secretary of Commerce. Stephen Schwarzman, Member of Strategic and Policy Forum. Patrick Shanahan, Deputy Secretary of Defense. Jack Welch, Member of Strategic and Policy Forum. Heather Ann Wilson, Secretary of the Air Force, and that's just a sample. The same cabal of globalists that have been running the federal government for decades and decades and decades is still running the government under Donald Trump. All of his rhetoric notwithstanding. If you don't think that Donald Trump is a controlled toady of this global elite, truly, you have been seduced by spirits. I want to show you this clip. It's 4 minutes long. This clip is nothing but the actual statement of Barack Obama compared to the actual statement of Donald Trump when both presidents launched their attacks against Syria. I want you to watch this.
My fellow Americans. My fellow Americans.
On August 21st.
On Tuesday.
When Assad's government gassed to death over 1,000 people.
Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad launched a horrible chemical weapons attack on innocent civilians.
Including hundreds of children.
Assad choked out the lives of helpless men, women, and children.
The images from this massacre are sickening.
It was a slow and brutal death for so many. Even beautiful babies were cruelly murdered in this very barbaric attack.
Men, women, children lying in rows killed by poison gas. Others foaming at the mouth, gasping for breath. A father clutching his dead children, imploring them to get up and walk.
No child of God should ever suffer such horror.
I determined that it is in the national security interests of the United States.
It is in this vital national security interest of the United States
to respond to the Assad regime's use of chemical weapons through a targeted military strike.
Tonight I ordered a targeted military strike
to deter Assad from using chemical weapons,
to prevent and deter the spread and use of deadly chemical weapons.
No one disputes that chemical weapons were used in Syria.
There can be no dispute that Syria used banned chemical weapons.
The Assad regime has now admitted that it has these weapons and even said they joined the Chemical Weapons Convention, which prohibits their use.
Violated its obligations under the Chemical Weapons Convention.
That's what makes America different. That's what makes us exceptional. With humility, but with resolve, let us never lose sight of that essential truth.
And we hope that as long as America stands for justice, then peace and harmony will, in the end, prevail.
Thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Good night. And God bless America and the entire world. Thank you.
Almost the same script, word for word. The same people that that wrote the script for Barack Obama were the same people that wrote the script for Donald Trump. The same people that are concocting the policies, especially foreign policies, in the Obama administration are the same ones that are concocting policy in the Trump administration. America has not changed track or direction the 2 years of Donald Trump, no more than it did when Obama promised change when he was elected in 2008. Why? Because they are not the ones deciding policy. They are not the ones in charge. These men have surrendered the autonomy, the independence, and the freedom of the American people, and they have sold it to these international globalists who are the de facto shadow government. But you can't tell Trump supporters that. You cannot. I'm not talking about people that voted for Donald Trump and people that still like some of the things that he does. And of course, Barack Obama threw out bones for his constituency to keep them happy while the globalist agenda marched on. Donald Trump throws out bones for his constituent. He knows he's got to say certain things and do certain things to make his base happy. But the overall agenda and direction of our country hasn't changed one iota. I'm not talking about people that they voted for him and they liked the things he stood for and they liked some of the things that he does. I'm talking about people whose minds and hearts are completely bewitched by this man. To the point that they cannot accept any criticism of his actions and his policies without rearing up in mad defiance. They will not listen to reason. They will not listen to facts. They are totally enraptured with Donald Trump. It is like they are living in an out-of-body experience, as we read from Barnes and Gill a few minutes ago. They are so seduced by this man, no matter what he does or doesn't do, they will fight anyone who challenges him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not normal. It's not natural for the American people to surrender their minds and hearts to a political personality to the point that they can no longer reason and no longer think and no longer discern and no longer apply the fundamental truths as Christians of the Bible and of all Americans, the Constitution and natural law principles in our Bill of Rights, etc. We have become an enslaved people in our minds already. You don't sell your soul, you don't sell your mind to any political personality. You vote for the ones that you think are best, although I personally will not vote for the lesser of two evils if I recognize it as such. You vote for people that you think are best, but after that, it is the responsibility of the people, not the politicians, to make sure that those who are governing on our behalf are doing so according to their oath to the Constitution of the United States. That's our job. That's the voters' job. That's the people's job. We have lost the ability to reason. We've lost the ability to think independently. So many on the left were slaves to Barack Obama. Anything he did, anything he said, no matter how unconstitutional it was, they supported. And I remember when Christians and conservatives during the Obama years would criticize the people on the left for the way they blindly and robotically supported Barack Obama. Now Trump is in the White House, and what are the Christians doing? What are the conservatives doing? They are blindly and robotically supporting Trump, no matter how unconstitutional his decisions might be. What's the difference? Neither group is thinking. Neither group is reasoning. Neither group has moral courage and character and is able to define and to stand upon those definitions of truth and right. All are slavish puppets to the power that be. I tell you, Donald Trump is as much a warmonger as G.W. Bush, John McCain, or Lindsey Graham. And there's something else you need to understand about this president. He's not a nationalist. He calls himself a nationalist. People say he's a nationalist. He's not. He's a supranationalist. And there's a big difference between a nationalist and a supranationalist. Supernaturalism is defined as outside or beyond the authority of one national government, or above the authority or scope of one national government as a project or policy. Donald Trump actually believes that the United States has the authority to dictate politics, policies, economics, even the governments of virtually all of the nations of the world. He believes that he has the right to send troops anywhere he wants to send for any reason. He believes he has the right to place economic sanctions on any nation for any reason. And any other nation that doesn't follow America's lead in sanctions, he's going to punish them in any way that he can. The reason our gas prices are rising here at the end of September, going into October, when prices normally are falling dramatically at this point, is because of the sanctions that Donald Trump has placed upon the oil-producing nation of Iran. And now he's talking about going into Venezuela. He's already got CIA disruptors and revolutionaries that are promoting unrest in Venezuela. He's talking about military action in Venezuela. Venezuela is one of the largest producing nations of oil and is the largest national, global producer of natural gas. But that's just a coincidence, isn't it? Through sanctions, civil unrest, revolutions, U.S. military occupations, wars, Donald Trump believes that he has the right as President of the United States to inflict all of this damage and all of this pressure and all of this unrest upon the nations of the world in order to force his will upon them. That's not nationalism. That's supranationalism. That is the idea that America is the not only the policeman of the world, but the God of the world. You will comply. You will submit to the wishes of America, or we will destroy you, is Donald Trump's philosophy. And people think, this is good. I submit to you that Donald Trump has seduced and bewitched millions of professing Christians. I personally believe it is a spiritual seduction and a bewitchment. In much the same way that G.W. Bush did and Barack Obama did, except even greater, because the people that are being seduced and bewitched are Christian people. It's one thing for people in the world to fall prey to a seducing spirit and a doctrine of devil. It's another thing for Christians, people that believe in Christ, to fall prey to such a seduction. They're listening to QAnon propaganda. I promise you, there are no 50,000 sealed indictments. There are none. And then the QAnon robots say, well, Trump is aligning a military coup of the government. And they are going to create military tribunals, and all of the deep state people are going to be brought before this military tribunal, similar to the Nuremberg trials after World War II in Germany. And they are saying this is a good thing. Let's create military tribunals. Let's have private sealed indictments. Let's go into the middle of the night and let's arrest people and let's bring them in front of a military tribunal. You understand that in a military tribunal, there are no constitutional rights allowed. No right to an attorney, no habeas corpus, no Bill of Rights, none of them apply in a military court. There are no Bill of Rights. And I'm hearing Christians laud and cheer the establishment of military tribunals in America for mass roundups, convictions, incarcerations, or executions, all to support Donald Trump. My friends, if that is not a satanic seduction, I don't know what is. While everyone was transfixed on the Kavanaugh Circus in Washington, D.C., they didn't even notice that the Republican Congress, House and Senate, and Donald Trump president at a private ceremony Friday at noon signed into law an $854 billion spending bill that funds virtually everything that the liberal socialists in Congress want, including full funding for Planned Parenthood, full funding for fetal tissue experimentation. The first 2 years of the Trump administration marked 6 years of total Republican control over the federal government, House, Senate, White House, Supreme Court. Total control. 6 years, 4 years under Bush, 2 years under Barack Obama. And not only has Roe v. Wade been overturned, we haven't even defunded Planned Parenthood, America's largest abortion industry in this country. And yet, here in a few weeks, Republicans throughout America are going to come back to their constituents and they're going to implore and beseech everybody to vote for them because they are the pro-life party. From CNS News, Senator Rand Paul fought to get a vote on an amendment to the bill that would defund Planned Parenthood. Before the Republican leadership agreed to such a vote, Paul needed to go to the floor to speak about what was happening. Rand Paul said, quote, "My amendment would end the funding of Planned Parenthood, yet my amendment is now being blocked by the Republicans. Many voters think Republicans actually care about the unborn, said Rand Paul. Many voters think Republicans really oppose the government-funded abortions, but the dirty little secret is that Republican leadership is blocking my amendment to defund Planned Parenthood. Big-spending Republicans, still quoting, fear that blocking funding for Planned Parenthood would derail their plans to greatly expand the welfare warfare state, he said. So be it. The public has long known that the Democrats are the abortion party. Now the public will know that many Republicans just pay lip service to pro-life issues and are really more concerned with bloated government spending than with saving lives. Except you didn't notice, did you, because you were too busy watching the Kavanaugh circus. Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, one of six Republicans that voted against this bill, delivered a floor speech explaining his opposition to the bill that funds Planned Parenthood and fetal tissue research. Quote, for the second straight year of unified Republican governance, unified pro-life governance, Congress annual spending bills will include no new reforms protecting unborn children or getting federal taxpayers out of the abortion business, said Lee. Under this bill, he said, neither the unborn nor taxpayers are any more protected from the abortion industry than they were under President Obama and a unified Democrat Congress, close quote. No difference, says Rand Paul. No difference, says Mike Lee. But tell that to the average Republican, and especially the average Trump supporter. And they will fight you, telling you Trump is pro-life, the Republicans are pro-life. It doesn't matter what the facts say. It doesn't matter what the truth is. These people are bewitched. Many Christians are so hypnotized by Donald Trump that they will leave a church and they will forsake a pastor who dares to challenge him with biblical and constitutional principles. They will turn their back on a God-fearing, gospel-preaching, Bible-teaching, truth-teaching pastor. They will turn their back on him. They will turn their back on a fellowship of believers, such as we have right here at Liberty Fellowship. They will walk out the back door, never to come back, because they refuse to deal with the truth about Donald Trump. They worship at the altar of Donald Trump. This is more than politics, ladies and gentlemen. This is more than Republican, Democrat. This is a spiritual seduction, a spiritual witchcraft over the hearts and the minds of people, including Christians. It doesn't matter that that pastor may have won them to the Lord. It doesn't matter that that pastor teaches the truth consistently. Whenever Barack Obama was the president, they loved that pastor. He was a hero. He was a patriot. He was a man of God. They couldn't say enough good things about him. But when he says the same principles of truth with a Donald Trump in the White House instead of Barack Obama, now they cannot bear the sound of his voice. They cannot stand to listen to his message. And now we need to find another place to worship. Yeah, a place that will continue the seduction and the deception that you have already given yourself to. And you are unwilling to face the truth. This is more serious than you and I can possibly understand. The seeds of this that are growing in the hearts of people today is something that is so evil. I don't care whether it's people worshiping Obama or people worshiping Trump. This worship of presidents is a spiritual seduction upon the nation that we cannot any longer reason together. We cannot any longer read the principles of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration. We cannot any longer in a sane, sensible manner be willing to identify unconstitutional conduct, evil conduct, warfaristic conduct, immoral conduct. We are no longer able to discern, to recognize, and to deal with on a personal level these issues. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to tell you this. This is serious. And I don't care who's in the White House and which particular party agenda is being fulfilled. That doesn't matter. I'm talking about a spiritual seduction. I'm talking about a bewitchment going on in the hearts of people, especially Christians, that can no longer reason and identify truth. If you have millions and millions of conservative and Christians, and I'm sure that many of the liberals and the left would feel exactly the same way and did feel the exact same way when Obama was in, although maybe it might not be, has been expressed as it is today. When you have millions of people that are cheering for military courts to take over the judiciary of America and start rounding people up by the tens of thousands and bringing them before military tribunals without constitutional favor, executing military justice based upon their perceived political philosophy. My friends, what does that remind you of? We've seen that kind of philosophy in some of your lifetimes. Patrick Henry said, "Once you've accepted the chains of tyranny around your neck, it is a small thing to accept the chains of tyranny around your hands and feet." And I submit to you that when people give themselves over to spiritual seduction, to devilish seduction, and doctrines of devils, they have already put the yoke of tyranny around their minds and their hearts. And it's only a matter of time before that tyranny manifests itself around our necks. In the early church, Judaizers seduced and bewitched people. In the Middle Ages, Romanists seduced and bewitched people. In the 20th century, Zionists seduced and bewitched people. Now the 21st century, and I made up a word to fit my outline. Warfarists are seducing and bewitching many people. You see, it doesn't really matter what else they do, as long as these presidents follow the prescribed course of military aggression and war and the establishment of central banks in nations that do not have them, and creating a global monopoly of international banking. As long as the presidents who order the militaries of the world are in compliance with that agenda, they can say or do just about anything that they want. But that agenda marches forward. The world is full of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That was from last week's message. In Galatians 3:1, from today, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? May God help us to never, ever give in to the seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils, no matter from whence they come. But they retain our reason. We retain the logic and the good common sense and the principles of truth and right that we know from the scriptures, from natural law, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and these fundamental elements of truth upon which everything that we know and hold dear was established. May God help us to never give in to any spirit of seduction that would remove from our hearts and our minds our commitments to these eternal principles. Let's stand for a word of prayer.